Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This last quarter, or this summer, Florida invited over 34.4 million guests. Think about that. In the last 3 months, that means that we Floridians have had at least 1.5 times our state population visiting. If you apply to any of our universities here in Florida, whether it's FSU or UF or UCF or Daytona State or quite a few other ones, they all offer a degree in hospitality or hospitality management. Over the last few weeks, we've been going through our epistles looking at what the life of a Christian looks like. And today we're looking at a life of hospitality, a life of hospitality. And there's three things that this passage tells us about hospitality. Hospitality is about sharing space, about sharing time, and about sharing life. When we read this passage, our translation that we read from the lectern said, show mutual love. But when you actually read it, it says, show brotherly love and show hospitality. Now, when you look at that in the Greek, it's actually a play on words, and I'm not going to go into the craziness of the Greek, but how many of y'all have been to the city of brotherly love, right? Philadelphia. That's what verse 1 says. Keep showing Philadelphia and practice philoxenia. So in other words, it's a play on words. Philadelphia, philos, like philosophy, love of wisdom. Philadelphia is loving your brother, someone that's just like you. Hospitality is philoxenia, which is loving someone who is totally different than you, radically different than you, someone that you might not actually want to love, someone you might not want to invite over for lunch. But here's the thing, is in the ancient Greek world, hospitality wasn't just a Christian virtue, it was a pagan virtue just as well. In fact, the Greeks thought that you should invite strangers into your house because it might be Hermes, it might be Zeus. In fact, Hermes was the patron saint of the strangers. And so you might come in and you wanted to invite them because you never know, it might be an angel, it might be a god. So you want to practice that. But here's the thing about how this works. And hospitality isn't just something that the writer of Hebrews gave us or something in the New Testament. It's found in the Old and the New Testament. Hospitality is at the heart of the gospel. This is what St. Paul tells us in Romans 14. He says, welcome one another as God in Christ welcomed you. That's part of why when we share space here at this church, why do I give announcements and tell you where the bathrooms are? Because I assume that I'm practicing hospitality. There's people who may not know us, who may not know this church. The other one that we do is we give communion instructions. Okay, it's not your practice. This is how we do it here. And the whole point of that is because a gospel community is not a community for the insiders. It's not about the people who have the right social status or the right secret handshake or know all the right language or wear all the right robes. In fact, it's for the outsider. That's what Jesus does for us. And here's just a few verses to talk to you about hospitality. Matthew 25, 35. Jesus says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Romans 12, 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to pursue hospitality. You see what pursue means? That means it's strategic. It's intentional. It's something that you go out of your way to do. 1 Timothy 3, 2, therefore, and this is actually, 1 Timothy is about the qualifications for an overseer, or what we now call in some places a bishop. So this is actually if you're to become a bishop, you need to actually have this qualification of hospitality. The bishop must be above reproach, husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-control, respectable, and hospitable. Titus 1, 8. The same qualification must be hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Peter tells the whole church in 1 Peter 4, 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. How many of us do that? I know sometimes that when I'm being hospitable, I'm actually grumbling on the inside, right? But of course, that's just me. Some of y'all are more saintly than I am, right? But the point of it is this, is that we share space. Now, the beauty of sharing space is this. And Oxford English Dictionary defines hospitality as the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. When you share space, you are letting them come into your area. I've got a wife and two kids, and that means that I have to share space in my house. I can't just do everything that I want to do. But the cool thing about that is that they get to know me at my best and at my worst, and they get to love me at my best and at my worst. That's what hospitality is. And that's what God does for us. That's the gospel. He loves us not just at our best, but at our worst. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what baptism tells us, that God died for us. He was buried and resurrected, and we now get to share in that life. Sharing space. Psychologists say that you need about 3 spaces away from some, like 3 feet away from people, right? But have you ever had that one person that's a space invader? And I don't mean they're like an alien or the 1980s video game. I'm talking about that one person that gets uncomfortably close to you when they have a conversation, right? But when people do that, your reaction to them tells you what you really think about them. So like if someone gets my, like, in my space, I'm like, you know what? I can put up with this. It's a bit weird. It's a bit strange. It's a bit awkward, but it's all right. But then if someone gets in your space and you don't like being with them, it really speaks volumes not about them and their lack of social tact. It speaks more about your lack of grace. Sharing space. But the second thing that we find is this. Because see, the first one said, show brotherly love. That's verse 1. Verse 2 says, but practice hospitality. Share time. Paul, for example, do you see in the later on in Hebrews, it said that, remember those ministers or clergy over you or people that have taught you the gospel, and look at their life. How did they invite you in? And that's exactly what Paul says about what an overseer should do. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 2:9. He says, surely you remember, brothers, that the toil and the hardship that I did when I came to you, and I worked day and night not to be a burden to you, and it delighted us not only to share the gospel with you, but also our life. Sharing time is an important part of hospitality. You see, here's the thing. When a hurricane comes and you lose some property or you lose some physical thing, very often you can get more of that or get it back. You can get a replacement. The only thing as a human being that you can't get back is time. And sharing time with someone shows you actually care. And what do I mean by that? You show hospitality by the way that you do it. If your hospitality extends to just 1 hour on Sunday, and that's the only hospitality you show to God or to anybody else on Sunday, well, it's not bad. It's a good start. But hospitality should extend way beyond the walls of the church. That's why one of our values here at this church is hospitality, because we gather in Christ's name. We grow in the Father's love, and then we go in the power of the Spirit, and we share of our time and of our resources. The third and final thing that we find is that we share life. The story that we found, or the passage we read in Hebrews, is actually alluding to a story in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 18. And in Genesis chapter 18, there's a story of Abraham and Sarah. They're Bedouins. They're living as nomads in the Middle East, in the desert. And in the heat of the day, it says that 3 strangers approach them. And there's this beautiful picture that was painted by Andrei Rublev a couple centuries ago. It's an icon called the Hospitality of Abraham. And that photo will appear on the screen soon. Could we get the photo on the screen, please? So, and that's called the Hospitality of Abraham. And in that, Abraham doesn't even feature in the story. Isn't that interesting? Sarah doesn't even feature in the story. And what happens in that is that Abraham invites these 3 strangers. He doesn't know who they are. But church fathers, through many centuries, have thought this to be a depiction of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the cool thing about this icon is that You can't tell who the Holy Spirit is. You can't tell who the Father is. You can't tell who the Son is because it's a mystery. But the mystery of hospitality is that God invites us into the very life and love of the Trinity. He invites us into his life to share with us. When I finished seminary, my aunt got me a gift. She bought me a plane ride to Israel, and we went around and saw all these fun places in there. And I went to the Dead Sea. And of course, I was 28 years old. I'm pretty clever. I don't need to read the sign written in English, Arabic, or Hebrew. Not that I could read Arabic or Hebrew at that point. But I was like, I know everything, which is not true. But that's how arrogant sometimes we can be. And I thought, oh, why read the sign? So I jump into the Red Sea, the Dead Sea, and I'm floating because it's highly mineralized. It's amazing. You can just, you don't have to swim, don't have to do anything. Your buoyancy is amazing. And of course, I didn't read the sign, but I decided I'd close my eyes, go into the water, come back up. And I thought, as long as I close my eyes, the water won't get in it and I'll be fine. And I opened my eyes, and of course, gravity works the way that it does. The water came down into my eyes and it burnt like nobody's business. Because in Hebrew and in Arabic and in English, it says, don't do this, you will go blind. And it hurt for about 15 minutes. I couldn't see a thing for 15 minutes, but luckily they flushed out my eyes. I was fine. But why do I tell this story? The Dead Sea. You got the Dead Sea in the south of Israel. In the north of Israel, you have this other place called the Sea of Galilee. Two very different seas. The Sea of Galilee receives the dew, the water, and the rain from the north, from the Galilee region of Mount Hermon, and it feeds the Sea of Galilee. And then the Sea of Galilee then feeds the River Jordan, and the waters flow down to the Dead Sea. And all the beautiful minerals and silt and soil that is necessary for life is coming down the Jordan River, and it empties all those beautiful minerals into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea has no place to give it out, to show that generosity, that hospitality. It becomes a Dead Sea. In the words of John Piper, who's a famous theologian and pastor, he said this, when we practice hospitality, we experience the refreshing joy of becoming conduits of God's hospitality rather than becoming self-decaying cul-de-sacs. The joy of receiving God's hospitality decays and dies if it doesn't flourish in our own hospitality of others. Let me give you 8 little practical hospitality tips that you might want to think of for the next few weeks. And if you're not taking notes, don't worry about it. It'll be recorded. We'll have it on the podcast so you can listen to it. Here's a quick tip how you might want to practice hospitality. Invite someone into your space, into your home. Here's the second way in which you might do it. Okay, maybe you're saying, well, I don't have a home by rent, or I have a small little apartment with only one bedroom and the kitchen, that's it. Well, then invite them into your shared space. Go to your work colleagues and invite them to your favorite restaurant or maybe your favorite movie theater. That's a great way to share space. The third way to practice hospitality is to eat together, informally, all the time. It's a wonderful thing. Jesus preached quite a bit. But when you read the Gospels, he actually ate more meals than he preached. And actually, it's reported that he ate a lot more meals than preached in the Gospels. Eat. I mean, that was one of the hallmarks of the early church. In the letter of Diognetus, of Methodius to Diognetus, which is one of the earliest documents that we have outside the New Testament, he says, we share our table with all and our bed with few. I mean, and that was so radically different for the Greco-Roman world. They're like, no, we share our bed with everybody. Our table, not so much. And that was so different. It was this radical hospitality that made Christianity so attractive in the first century. The fourth thing is you can host a small gathering at your home, whether it's for the church or just on your own. I know people that come to this church that have been going out every Thursday for the last 30 years to one of the restaurants in downtown New Smyrna. They do that sharing and hosting together. The fifth way in which you can practice hospitality is this. Why don't you do some social service? What do I mean by that? Go to the people that could never repay you, as Jesus told us in the story, the parable of the banquet. Volunteer at God's bathhouse, where we give baths to people who are underprivileged and it's probably the only bath that they'll get the whole week. Or volunteer at Colors of Hunger, one of the places that we partner to feed meals here in New Smyrna. Practice material and spiritual hospitality. A sixth way you can do is volunteer. Whether at this church or Habitat for Humanity or somewhere, volunteer. You're practicing love of the stranger. The seventh way that you can do it is even more practical. Volunteer not just somewhere out there, but help out at this service. There's a bunch of things that need to happen to make the service flourish. We need someone to move that little volume button up and down so that you can hear me. So we need AV people. We need people to do the slides and the visuals. We need people to print and fold the bulletins for us. We need people to do the flowers. We need people to set communion for us. We need ushers to help welcome people as they come in. We need ushers to help us guide and direct the kids to kids' church when they come in. There's a variety of ways in which you can help out to make this 10:30 service flourish. And let me give you the final way in which you can practice hospitality at this church. It's called the peace. So at the end of the in the middle of the service, we have this thing at the end of the sermon in the middle of the service. It's called the peace. And by that, you pass the peace. You go around and you shake people's hands and you greet them. The way to turn strangers into friends is to turn them into guests. Welcome them. But how do we get the power for this? And I'll end with this. How do we get the power to love the other? In the words of the Dominican priest, Cecil Speak, he says, you cannot have Philadelphia or community without, you can't have community without hospitality. You need to invite others in. This is what we hear from St. Paul. He says this, welcome one another as God in Christ welcomed you. God welcomes us to this table, to sit and eat with him, that we might live in him and he in us. And that's exactly what he does. There's this beautiful picture. It's St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and that will appear on the screens as well. And here's how it goes. It's from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And in that picture, it's Jesus standing at the door of your heart. And he's knocking. And when Holman Hunt painted this in the mid-1800s, one of his friends supposedly turned to him and said, he didn't paint the painting right. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, there's a door handle missing on the outside of your door. And actually, Holman Hunt said, no, I did that on purpose. The whole point is that God has invited us into his life, and we need to show him the hospitality of inviting him into ours. And that's what we're doing here in baptism with Miles and Isla. They're going to invite God into their life because God has already invited them into his life. And liturgically, you'll see how that flows. After there's God's welcome, their welcome, then there's the people's welcome, where we will then welcome them. Because baptism is the outward sign of the inward grace, and it visibly marks them as members of the church. So you will welcome them, and then we will pass the peace. But this is what it says right underneath that painting in St. Paul's Cathedral. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. So Lord, we thank you that you are the God of radical hospitality, that even when we were enemies, strangers, your hospitality invited us in and turned us from enemies and strangers into friends and brothers and sisters. So Lord, we ask that today you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Remind us that you are the God who welcomes us. Amen.